Getting help after the storm and the junior theater back open to in-person classes in the cities. It was one of the most powerful storms to hit Iowa and the cities. The derecho windstorm in August left behind splintered trees, heavily damaged crops, and homes in need of major repairs. Scott and Cedar counties were declared disaster areas that are also eligible for individual assistance from FEMA. And the Emergency Management Agency has set up a center outside the Annie Wittenmeyer Complex near the Davenport Aquatic Center at 29th and Eastern Avenue. It is open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 6. And we talked with John Mills with FEMA's Incident Management Assistance Team. You've been in the Quad Cities for a while because you had a place in Bettendorf before. Now you've moved to Davenport. What did you see, first of all, in Bettendorf? Were there a large number of people that were looking for help?
We're working with everyone, Jim, on a case-by-case basis. So in addition to Scott and Cedar counties, we're working in 9 other Iowa counties affected by the August 10th derecho. We had several dozen people visit the Bettendorf location, and across those 11 counties in Iowa, we've already been able to approve more than 2,100 households for FEMA individual assistance grants. So more than $20 million in federal assistance has already been provided, and that's for homeowners and renters and business owners. FEMA is providing grant money, and we've already provided more than $8 million to homeowners and renters for losses not covered by insurance. We're helping people with things like basic home repairs to make their primary residence habitable. We're helping people with temporary rental assistance if they have to rent a place to live temporarily because it's not safe to live in their home as a direct result of the derecho. We've also been helping people get reimbursements for lodging expenses. So if it wasn't safe to live in their home after the derecho and they had to stay in a hotel for a week or so, we're helping people get reimbursements for that if they don't have insurance covering them for that. And a lot of people have also lost personal property that's essential to their families. So we've been helping people with those serious needs as well, replace some essential personal property items. And so in addition to that, the $8 million in FEMA grant money for homeowners and renters, the Small Business Administration has already approved more than $12 million for businesses, and then additionally for homeowners and renters with serious needs. So that's how we come to more than $20 million in federal assistance approved so far.
Time and again, I'm sure you're running into people who, or maybe not even running into people who think, my claim is too small or I don't need the help. I'm from the Midwest, we're self-sustaining, you know that story. Is there a minimum? Is there like a minimum that you are allowing?
I would think about your own personal situation and what your family's specific needs are. We work with everyone on a case-by-case basis, and if you have serious needs as a direct result of the derecho and you don't think your insurance is going to cover some of your essential needs, please do register for disaster assistance with FEMA. The deadline to register is October 19th, but we will continue to work with people beyond that date for those with the most serious needs on a case-by-case basis. You know, what we've been finding, Jim, is that fortunately, a lot of people in the affected areas in Iowa have insurance for their losses. That's really your first line of defense. By law, FEMA is not allowed to duplicate insurance payments. So we've been encouraging people to file their insurance claims, stay in touch with their insurance company about their needs, but at the same time, if they have serious needs related to the derecho impacting the living space of their home, please also register for disaster assistance with FEMA. And we may be able to fill some of the gaps, whether you have insurance or not. And there are a couple of ways to register, and I can help people understand that information a little later.
And I do want to ask you also, well, let's talk about that right away. I mean, how do you actually register or try to apply for this assistance?
Right, Jim, that's really important information for people to know. So you're not required to come to a disaster recovery center like this one in Davenport or the one that we opened previously in Bettendorf. You can call FEMA directly at 800-621-3362. That's 800-621-3362. You really will get to talk with a real person, and they'll walk you through the process. We want to hear from people directly about what their family's needs are. You'll be asked about the damage that occurred on August 10th, what the extent of the damage is at your home, Can you live in your home, or do you need to relocate? Those kinds of questions. You can also register online at disasterassistance.gov. That's disasterassistance.gov. So a lot of people have registered online at disasterassistance.gov, but then they may have a question. They've received a letter from FEMA. They want to ask some questions about the money they've received and how it's supposed to be spent. You can then call FEMA directly and ask those questions. So you can use both the website, disasterassistance.gov, and the phone number, 800-621-3362, to get those questions answered without ever visiting with FEMA in person. But because so many people do have insurance coverage, FEMA will ask you for your insurance information. So that might be a denial letter from your insurance company. You would provide that to FEMA. We're providing help to people at a disaster recovery center like this one here in Davenport. For those folks who need a little bit of extra help, they may not know how to upload a document. If they don't have internet access, we can help them here. We can help walk them through the process. And if they want to drop by and ask a quick question, or if they do need to register for assistance and they haven't been able to do it on the phone or online, we can also help them do that right here.
When you're talking about assistance, or you're talking about grants, is this money that has to be paid back?
That's a great question, Jim. So FEMA grant money does not have to be repaid. FEMA makes grants to homeowners and renters with serious damage to their primary residence and their personal property, and that's damage not covered by insurance. In addition to that, FEMA works with the Small Business Administration, which in a disaster such as this one, the August 10th derecho, SBA makes disaster loans not only for businesses, for individual homeowners and renters with serious needs not covered by insurance. So it's a combination of all those efforts. And as you well know, there were severe agricultural losses in Iowa as a result of the derecho. So the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, is working with farmers to help with their needs not covered by insurance. And the local farm service agency offices are helping a lot of people all over the affected areas at USDA.
The other key thing, no matter where you're getting assistance, whether even with your insurance company or, as you are pointing out, with the government, you do need documentation. How important is it that you get your paperwork in order?
So you will be asked for a social security number of at least one member of the household. You'll be asked for a description of the damage. If you have had to relocate, you'll be asked for a current address where you can get mail in addition to the location of your damaged property. Your insurance information you'll be asked for. If you can't provide it immediately, you can always get back in touch and provide that information. Whether you're uploading it here with some help from us at the Disaster Recovery Center in Davenport or one of our other locations in Iowa, or by just mailing it in or faxing it in, the letter you receive from FEMA will explain exactly how to do that. So just read your letter that you receive from FEMA carefully. Some people may choose to receive that letter in the mail, but so many people are registering at disasterassistance.gov. Just log into your personal disasterassistance.gov account and look for updates from FEMA in there. And if more information is required, we'll let you know. If you have a question and you're not quite sure what's being asked for, please call FEMA directly at 800-621-3362, and you can talk to a real person who will help answer your questions. This can be a traumatic process, an experience for a lot of people. We want to simplify the process for disaster survivors, so that's why we want to encourage people to stay in touch with us. Let us know what your family's needs are. We may be able to help provide some assistance in the form of FEMA grant money. We also may be able to refer you to another program that may also be able to help.
Well, and as you pointed out, this is a very difficult time emotionally, even physically, for some people who have gone through this, and they may want to have that face-to-face discussion with you. Behind you, of course, is the area where people can drive up, but you're really also practicing safe COVID-19 procedures, are you not?
That's right. I mean, the only reason I'm not wearing a face covering right now is because we're very well socially distanced right now in this interview situation. So when people come here, this is the first time here in Iowa, this location and others that we've done around the state, a disaster recovery center is taking place outside. We're encouraging people to stay in their vehicle the whole time and wear a face covering the whole time. You'll also notice that the FEMA staff members you'll interact with are also wearing face coverings. And that's all because of COVID-19. We want to ensure the safety of survivors who meet with us and the safety of our own staff members who are working here in Davenport, Cedar Rapids, Marshalltown, Ames, and other parts of the state.
You did point out the millions of dollars that have already been allocated because of this disaster. Walk me through that process. I mean, do you get your money quickly, or is there a long period of wait?
A lot of people have received money within a matter of days, so very soon after the registration. If you need to relocate because of serious damage to your primary residence, people have been telling us that right away, and generally speaking, we're able to approve grant money very, very quickly. For those people who have insurance, FEMA will ask for their insurance information. But so far, more than $20 million in federal assistance has already been approved, and that's not a fixed amount of money. That number has the potential to rise as we continue to hear from people about their needs. So we're working with people on a case-by-case basis. FEMA has approved more than $8 million in grants for homeowners and renters. Now, those are grants that don't have to be repaid, and that's for things like basic home repairs, temporary rental assistance, and other needs not covered by insurance. And at the same time, the Small Business Administration has approved more than $12 million in disaster loans for homeowners, renters, and business owners. So more than $20 million approved so far. As we continue to hear from people and people stay in touch and provide us with updated information, we may be able to approve even more money to help people recover from the August 10th derecho.
And as you pointed out, this is not an open-ended enrollment period or an open-ended period to ask for help. You've got deadlines that are coming up. They're actually fast approaching in some ways.
Yes, so the deadline to register with FEMA for disaster assistance is October 19th. The assistance can continue beyond that date, but it's important to be registered in the system at disasterassistance.gov, at disasterassistance.gov, or by calling 800-621-3362 by the October 19th deadline. You can continue to stay in touch after that date and request continued assistance, and we'll continue to work with you on a case-by-case basis. If you know someone with serious damage, though, please tell them to register with us before that deadline.
John Mills with FEMA's Incident Management Assistance Team. And once again, the drive-through assistance center is open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 6, but it will close permanently Saturday, October 10th at 6 o'clock. In a moment, a theater that is ready to reopen to the youngest actors in the cities. But first, what you can do to get out of the house in the coming days. Here's Laura Adams with a taste of what you'll find if you go out and about.
This is Out and About through October 16th. Join WQPT at the Bluegrass Drive-In for a screening of The Age of Nature, October 8th at 7. RSVP at wqpt.org/nature. Register at figgyartmuseum.org to hear from artists involved in the Living Proof exhibit. Or join the concert series at Schwiebert Park, the first at 7 o'clock. The Black Box Theater presents three viewings October 1st through 3rd, while Gigi's Playhouse is having a virtual superhero run for Down syndrome on the 3rd. Butterworth Center honors 100 years of women's voting rights with a performance by Laura Keyes as Elizabeth Cady Stanton on the 4th at 3. Iron Invasion 2020, a fundraiser for Helping Hannah's Heart Foundation, includes classic cars October 9th through 11th at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds. This year's NAMI Walks is going virtual. Visit NAMIWalks.org to register for the October 10th walk, or register for a virtual trivia night for the second Jason Blair Roberts Memorial Scholarship fundraiser October 11th at 5. Reserve your space to paint Pumpkin Paws on the 16th at 6:30 at the Coffee Hound in Bettendorf, and the Putnam Museum hosts a virtual Mad Scientist Ball. Make your reservation for the October 16th event. Pete's Humane Race, real or virtual, is coming October 10th. Registration deadline is the 4th. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
Live music is slowly coming back to the cities after theaters, bars, and restaurants shut down, then offered restricted gatherings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we get to hear from one of those musicians writing her own material and taking the stage when she can to perform it. Jenny Lee Stacy joined us a few months ago at the Black Box Theater in Moline. Here's Jenny Lee with Nothing to Lose.
Where are you going? been. Will the powers that be have a hold over me? And I'm living here in sin. Yes, I'm living here in sin. And our lives have drifted. And we were falling apart.
Jenny Lee Stacy with Nothing to Lose. The Davenport Junior Theater had to rethink outside the box how to hold classes for young people interested in the stage and dance, but also keep them safe and to a large extent separated during the COVID-19 pandemic. Not easy, right? Well, the theater used a mix of online classes that proved very successful, and now they're taking it a step further. And joining us is Daniel Sheridan, Performing Arts Supervisor with the Davenport Junior Theater. Always good to see you. And you've got some exciting news right now because you have gone months without seeing some of your students in person, and that's tough.
No, it's been really hard. You know, when we closed the doors on March 16th, we have been doing virtual programs and meeting kids in the virtual space, but we're excited that here on October 19th, we've come up with our main theater into a classroom itself.
Daniel, hold on 1 second.
Distancing and all that.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, the picture really froze right in the middle of you saying that. So let me start again real quick, because you had a real good piece of information there and it just froze. So let me do this again. I'm
sure.
Sorry.
No problem. No, it's no worries.
And joining us is the performing arts supervisor for the Davenport Junior Theater, Daniel Sheridan. And Daniel, it's good to see you in person right now. I know you're so looking forward to seeing your students in person, something you haven't been able to do since March.
Yeah, it was March 16th that we closed the doors here at Junior Theater, and we adapted and came up with new ways to stay connected with our students, which we're really excited about. But right now, we're really, really eager to get back to our in-person programming on October 19th. And, you know, we found a safe way to do it by converting the main theater into a classroom itself, as well as our main dance studio. So large spaces, masks, good social distancing. And I know our students are eager to get back here too.
And registration is going on right now. So if you're a parent or if you're an old enough kid that knows how to register, now's the time, right?
It is. And not only are we doing in-person programming, though, we are continuing our virtual learning program as well. So, you know, we have outfitted teaching virtual stations with multiple cameras, audio streaming capacity, microphones to really make the at-home experience as much as it can be like the experience here in the class. So lots of new opportunities and even brand new styles of classes we're offering too.
And I think that's interesting. Let's talk about the in-person first, because your fall registration is going on, and this lasts from October 19th to the 21st. Not the registration, but the actual program, October 19th through November 21st. Walk me through it. I mean, what's available to kids during that period of time?
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to be offering theater and dance classes as we always do. So, you know, we have some usual suspects like musical theater, ballet, hip-hop, and some of those more routine classes that we offer. But we're also doing new classes like a heroes and villains class or creative movement courses, acting with accents. So rethinking what we typically do and packaging it in a 5-week experience that kids will have a lot of fun.
And let's be honest, I mean, you are either, well, we'll say you're the second oldest junior theater in the country, aiming to be number one at some point. But I mean, it's really a great opportunity for kids if people aren't that familiar with the junior theater.
Yeah, you know, it's the chance to get in the classroom. We've always been about giving kids a brave, bold tomorrow. And we believe that doing that is by providing them performing arts. We can help them communicate with clarity and confidence no matter where their life takes them. So we're excited to see the kids in the classroom.
And one of the other things that, you know, you've reinvented yourselves in some ways due to COVID-19. And one of them is going on right now, and it's your New Play Festival, the virtual New Play Festival. Tell me how this is going to move forward.
That's right. So the main stage company and our artistic director, Ben Gujan, put together a virtual play festival where students are submitting new work, and then we're going to meet in the virtual space and produce it. So, you know, we're still doing costumes and the whole experience, but we have to create virtual backgrounds and environments to bring the production to life through the Zoom platform. And admission's going to be free for the community, so we're excited to have our students storytelling once again, even though they'll be broadcasting from home, but bringing you a creative story together.
And I think that's interesting because the kids have been cooped up at home, and you have found different ways to perhaps improve their performance virtually, either on camera or through Filmology, as you said.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you just think about where the world's headed, you know, this medium of a virtual interactive space is a great learning opportunities for kids to learn how to use their bodies, voice, and imagination in that space too. So we've expanded also into, you know, acting for camera courses and voiceover courses, and all of those things are being offered right now because those are great companion pieces for this time and an exciting tool to have in the tool belt and thing to learn.
And you still have the YouTube channel as well, which is still really reaching kids not only in the Quad City area, but wow, coast to coast.
Yeah, you know, over the summer in our virtual programs, we had kids enrolled from California, Oregon, Kentucky, Florida, New Jersey. So it was really great to get those kids together from across the country. And then the free learning channel on YouTube, but we expanded it with puzzles and activities that kids can download and they can do right at home. So that's all free and accessible to anyone right now.
Everything isn't free, though, at the Junior Theater, but there is assistance for people who may need help.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So the Davenport Parks and Recreation Program offers financial assistance for families. That information can be found on our website. And we're always willing to work with families and figure out a way, if they have kids and want to get involved, how can we solve, you know, a registration fee as a barrier? How can we solve that together?
And once again, it's called the Davenport Junior Theater because it's Davenport Parks and Recs that is running it, but it's not just limited to Davenport kids.
That's right. I mean, like I said, the virtual program around the country, but in a typical year, we'll have kids involved from 35 different cities and towns from around the region. Some drive 30 or 45 minutes to come down and do a class, so we're always excited to have anybody from the Quad Cities who might have an interest in theater and dance to come on over and join us.
It has been a tough 8 months, you know, since March, since COVID-19 shut down so many different things. You also know that so many schools are kind of cutting back on the arts, and it's really tough to actually have these programs available in classroom after classroom. After getting through this point of COVID-19, does it just underscore in your mind how important the arts are to children these days?
You know, I think the one thing that parents have communicated to me that has affected our team the most is when a parent tells us, after my kid did the class at Junior Theater, I felt like I got my kid back. My kid was excited and more themselves, and just excited to get up and face the day. And, you know, those little victories right now are really important, and I think we offer those.
And so once again, your last best pitch, if somebody wants to get involved or if they have a kid or a grandchild that they think would fit well in this program, it's not just performing. There's other things behind the scenes that are being available as well.
Yeah, that's right. We have onstage and offstage opportunities because the theater arts is a collaborative art form and there's plenty of ways to get involved. And, you know, I always tell parents, you know, you've got that one kid who's super outgoing that you know would love it. But truly, junior theater helps build up the confidence of kids who are maybe a little more hesitant. So we encourage all kids to be involved with the program. And we're a year-round program and you can really get involved at any time.
Daniel Sheridan, Performing Arts Supervisor with the Davenport Junior Theater. And you can catch local programming on WQPT with a click of the mouse on your computer. Your local PBS station is now live streaming local broadcasts like the cities. In order to watch, click on Live TV in the upper right corner of our website. Anyone in our coverage area can now take WQPT any place at any time. Get more details at WQPT.org. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and now streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.